welcome to selfdiscoveryradio.com. With over 1,400 shows, we have the answers for you. Enjoy your listening on selfdiscoveryradio.com. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Choose Positive Living. I am your host, Sarah Troy. My guest today is Teresa Funk, and we're going to get funky on the show. It's all about rejuvenating your mind, your body with nutrition, and just knowing what to do with it, how to move it, how to nourish it, how to care for it. We don't just take care of the mind and then detach and take care of the body. We are a full whole organism here, and everything has to work together in order to be able to kind of get down and get funky, which is what we want to do. We want to embrace life. We want to have the energy to embrace life. We want to know that our brain is working sharp and our muscles are working along with it, and our fascia is nice and loose and stretched out, and that when we need to get up and go and embrace an opportunity or seek a joyful event or just get out there and live life in a more harmonious way, we need to take care of our body. And this is exactly what Teresa does. It's a holistic health and wellness nutrition plan that she has for you. So she takes the whole of you and helps you kind of really nourish yourself so that you really can enjoy that relationship, have a fulfilling career, be able to do those physical activities, have a spiritual awareness of attunement so that you know how to balance that inner core, that inner beautiful sensory that will keep you calm and under stress. And it's also about those balances of foods. And you know, all of that is so very important, because we really must address the whole and stop just addressing just little compartmental pieces of us. So if we want to, like the 70s, where we got on that disco floor and we started funking to the music, we were in the whole of ourselves. We were using every part of our body. We were igniting our souls and spirits. Our minds were right in it. And we were having great relationships right there on the dance floor at that moment. So why can't we do that today in our lives, in every aspect of our lives? Well, we need help, don't we? And Teresa has been had a fitness career for a very long time in figure competitions, placing first in the BC Provincial Championship in 2007 and fifth in 2008 in the Canadian Nationals. Clearly a woman who loves physical activity, married with children now, loves to get out cycling, and has the energy and the abundance and the right mindset to go and embrace life. So let's pick our brain and see what we can do in order to embrace our own bodies, mind, body, health, spirit, and soul, and see how she can help us kind of get our funk on. Welcome to the show, Teresa.
Well, thank you, Sarah, for having me.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Again, fabulous name, Body by Funk. I mean,
yes, thank you. Thank you. It works.
It does, definitely.
You know, very catchy.
When those things click, right? Exactly. Now, obviously, fitness has always been your thing. You know, for you to be a bodybuilder, it's so disciplined. It really is a mind-body spirit connection, isn't it? And without the right nutrition, you're just not giving the body what it needs to fortify. So, but first, you have to start with the mind, don't you? Because if the mind is in the wrong place, it's
yes.
not going to be able to kind of talk to hear the rest of the body.
Yes, absolutely. It all has to be connected. You need a full mind and a physical awareness of your mind to fully embrace what it is that you are doing. It is such a daunting task if you are going to only go about it with one ideal in mind, thinking that you could build a body with nothing else in mind. So nutritionally, it has to come together. And with that, that means good healthy food. That means a good healthy mindset. And that could carry you on to, you know, building a healthier lifestyle, a healthier body. It doesn't mean that we have to embark on these crazy type of fitness regimes in order to be healthy. For myself, it was at that time, I learned so much through that, thinking, well, you know, I want to build a healthier body, but I also wanted to go to a next level. Now, however, I've come away from that. So it's more, you know, where do I find the health in all the facets? It's not just building the body. It's not just having the nutrition, but it's having the all-encompassing full mind, body, and physical awareness. When we are eating well, we have that capacity to say to ourselves, you know what, I have the mental energy to actually build a really good body, to be in good physical health. When we do not, when we are forgetting about that vital, you know, piece of information to eat well, you have now putting yourself in a situation where you're kind of going, well, I don't really know if I want to do the physical exercise. I don't know if I want to get out of bed or if I want to carry on my day. We definitely can put our brain and our mind in that, definitely in that mindset. So when we do eat well, it does help to create a better sense of self, a better sense of just getting out there and saying, you know what, I want to have a healthier lifestyle. And you keep repeatedly doing that and it just gets better and better. However, we go the other way, it will, you know, only put us in a mindset of a yo-yo cycle. You've heard of yo-yo dieting and yo-yo cycling of exercise. We get some people who will exercise maybe part of the year and then decide to not exercise the other part of the year. And that's really too bad because, you know, physical exercise, again, doesn't have to be a daunting task, but something that it should be an ongoing, you know, pursuit of health. And it should never just stop, just like our eating habits shouldn't stop being healthy. For some, it's more like, again, it's that yo-yo. We're going back to eating poorly, not exercising. And then all of a sudden we get this epiphany. It's like, well, I think I should exercise today and I should start eating better today because A, I've probably gained a little bit of weight. B, I don't feel that well, but they're really not connecting that mind, body, soul, gut connection with the brain. We don't really know it, but we do know it. So when we are learned and when we are taught to eat well, we can now start making a mind, body, gut connection, meaning our brain is satisfied nutritionally as well as our physical selves. It is very imperative that the brain is signaled that it is nourished properly. If not, then we tend to get more on that bandwagon of that yo-yo dieting and reaching for, you know, not the ideal foods.
Yeah, you know, the emotional eating, the I'm feeling guilty eating, well, I suppose I should because I can't fit into something eating, you know, everything becomes addressing the emotion of the moment. And then everybody also expects to have results very quickly, don't they?
Oh, and, you know, they do.
I won't mention the word fascia right at the beginning there because not only have you got to kind of stretch those muscles out and get them trained, it's not like, you know, you're going to go and work 10 hours in the gym today and there you are all buff. But you've also got your fiber optic fascia underneath the skin above the muscle that, you know, has to be stretched out slowly. And if you've been stagnant for a long time or had any injuries, it's going to, you know, they kind of solidify and you've got to work them out. And I know that one of the dangers with people that, you know, oh, I'm going to go out and do an exercise thing now. OD, they overdo it. The
yes.
body retaliates. And then they go, well, hell, I'm not doing that anymore. Instead of a slow integrational program and listening to their body, there's pushing your body, and then there's pushing your body too far.
Absolutely. It's all about natural progression. And a lot of us do tend to not listen to that and thinking that we, like you said, you just got to go, 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 go. And then all of a sudden you're hurting and putting yourself prone to injury or even chronic illnesses from overtraining. And not understanding where it is just having a nice, healthy balance to exercise and to eating. Like I said, it's got to be something that is continuing in your daily lifestyle, just like brushing your teeth. Mm. We don't stop brushing our teeth, right? Hopefully we don't.
The tooth fell out, maybe because I didn't brush it.
Yes. Right?
Exactly.
So it just really becomes habitual.
You've got to find that something, too, that you like. I mean, you know, I like walking with my dog, but unfortunately she's really old now. I can't walk even, you know, across the room. And I love swimming. You know, I do have the fascia problem. And, you know, I remember kind of doing the gym thing, and it was the time period where you've got to feel the burn, you've got to feel the pain, push, push, push. And of yes. course, what I was doing was causing more damage to my body.
Yes.
Where swimming is such a wonderful, because you really are stretching in the water, and you can do an awful lot of exercise there that's non-abrasive.
Absolutely. It's very low impact. It's wonderful for the joints, especially if we are not feeling, if it's harder to do those crazy type exercises. We don't have to. It's not a one size fits all. We don't have to do, like you said, that those workouts where you feel the burn. It's more about just keeping physically active in a way that works for you. It's all on a bio individual sense. So if walking is best for you, walking, 5 kilometers a day or 2 kilometers a day, so be it. If that's swimming, so be it. If that other person decides to embark on, I'd like to maybe split it up a little bit, going, to do a little bit of resistance training. Well, some people will think, does that mean I have to go to the gym? No, not necessarily. What that could mean is you using your own body, you can create a little mini workout at home for yourself, doing some push-ups, doing some squats and some lunges very lightly, very gently. And then maybe going for walking and swimming on the other days. Cross training is very important too. We do something over and over again. We are now putting our bodies at risk for being overtrained and for multiple injury. It is better to be able to split that up and do different things for sure. And do what you love. Absolutely. Do what you love, because doing what you love will help keep that motivation there.
Exactly. Otherwise, it's just going to be in every excuse you can think of not to do it.
Absolutely.
And, sometimes by starting off slow, even like Tai Chi, Qigong, any of these type of things, if you are coming out of that, you haven't done it for a while, or an illness or an injury, it's go slow with something. And then all of a sudden you find, I've got more energy. I can do more. Maybe yes. now it's time to get on the bike, or maybe I could take up climbing. But it's again, it's that gradual thing, isn't it, where you've got to be feeding the body, otherwise the body's not going to be able to keep up with whatever you're doing. And it takes a while for your body to absorb all those nutritions, because you've got to detox first, and people want to put good nutrition in a toxated body. You've got to detox, and you're going to go through some rigorous changes while that's happening, and then you've got to nourish your body. And while you're rebuilding your body, you can be doing some slow things, and then all of a sudden your body's feeling nourished, you're feeling more energetic, and now you can actually step it up.
Yes, Sarah, you make a very interesting point there about, when we are trying to detox the body, and then all of a sudden you're exercising, trying to fill it with food that is better for us. I believe that's just too much at once. Mm-hmm. So what I try to do is help my clients understand that, when they come and embark on the program with me, is to do one thing first. And the most important thing first is to look at the nutrition and to detoxify the body, because you're going to feel worse first and then start feeling better, right? Because we go through those headaches and those withdrawals and sugar withdrawal. So I would really encourage the client, or even a lot of people, just to look at maybe taking a good 6 to 8 weeks, just really fully working on your nutrition, and then embarking on bringing in the other things, because it is 85% of what we do is really what goes into our bodies, into our mouths. And if the 85% is there and we're cleansing and we're doing well, then we're going to start feeling way better to now bring in an exercise routine. It's always encouraged, at least with my program, to help people to understand that they don't need to do everything at once. But then they'll be concerned, and a lot of people are concerned. It's like, well, maybe I won't lose any weight, and maybe I won't start feeling better. Well, that's the beauty of it. It is nice to see how food actually does help that body start functioning properly again, losing weight, metabolizing food, and sleeping better, just on starting on the nutrition. And when they see that, a lot of them are so surprised. They thought, well, I thought I had to, work out these crazy workouts and feel the burn and do all this. And I'm like, no, let's, you're starting with the one thing, and then you're bringing in the other things. And that helps that person to see that, wow, it really is a lot of what I'm eating. It really does show them.
Yeah. And, you know, it takes a long time for us to screw up our body. And, you know, expect, you know, like, oh, just because I've changed my diet today or I'm doing some exercise that now I'm back on track. You have to understand it, you know, the body works on a cellular level over 90 days and it goes through various changes in that 90 days. And you really need to allow that 90 days for a change over, you know, mind, body, soul, cellularly, you know, everything. It's there for a reason. You've also got to be diligent and dedicated to doing this, because if you don't, you will fail, and then all you will do is see the failure and, you know, not understand it's the failure is giving up, right? Now you're going to fall. You're going to have days where to hell with this. But then, you know, then you pick back up again and go, no, I'm going to get back on track. But walking away from it because it got hard or I can't be bothered, you know, you're doing yourself a disservice, because after all, this vessel is the only one you've got.
Exactly. Something that I did learn, and this is very interesting, is that it takes 180 days to start creating debt or credit to your body nutritionally. Now, 180 days is about 6 months out of the year, and 180 days could allow us to either put ourselves to a high risk of disease, or it could work the other way. It could give us longevity. And when people come in and we talk, you know, we talk about, you know, what are you wanting to put into this? How long do you think that you're going to be able to see what the debt you're creating with your body, or the credit you're creating with your body, is going to work or not work for you? You know, and a lot of people are like, well, I don't understand that. And so I say, well, think about your credit card. You know, you're racking up your credit. A lot of people do that. They rack up their credit, unfortunately, and then they're paying on top of that credit and the interest. And so I'm telling them, you don't want to be paying back that interest all the time. You don't want to be constantly paying it back. You got to start paying it forward. You got to start creating credit. And it'll take about 180 days to do that. They're like, well, that's a long time. That's 6 months. I said, yes, but that creates more habitual longevity for you. So the choice is really yours. Mm-hmm. If you're going to go back and forth, you're now constantly putting more to that debt than you are to the credit. And that's kind of an eye-opener for some people, you know, when you're using analogies like that.
Yeah.
it does work for some. For some others, it takes a little bit, you know.
Before they recognize that, you know, there is no escaping this. I do have to do it. And, you know, the old adage, right, if you don't use it, you lose it. You know, and, you know, you don't just go to the gym for a few weeks and stop. It's something that you make as your habitual, once or twice a week or more often. And you get into a routine or something. You integrate it into your lifestyle, because that's part of looking after you. You know, the other thing I want to address is that it's not all about body image, is it? Because, you know, there's some people that, you know, will really come out of it with a great new shape and a great new body. But there are some people that are always going to be big. That's just what their DNA is. It's about finding the health in there. And that doesn't mean just because they're bigger framed or, you know, carry more fat on them, that they're fat. It's about making sure that that fat kind of can get as muscly as possible and as healthy as possible.
Yes.
But there's just some people that are robust.
Yes, definitely. It's not about body image. We are not all made to look like Barbie dolls, and nor should we have to strive for that either. That's a very unhealthy way of looking at things. Society, unfortunately, has put that pressure on us, you know, by all our social media faucets.
Plastic
and stuff.
Surgeons.
Yeah. I know.
They're behind it all.
And we got to start looking at it at a more healthier sense in our mind. You know, we need to start looking at it more like, well, I want to live a healthier life. What does that look like for me? Mm-hmm. How can I get there? What are some things I can start doing today to create that life for me? And it's not about, you know, looking at the big picture going, I have to lose 100 pounds today. It's like, you know what, just start thinking about increasing your vegetables, you know, just break it down, make small little minor changes. And, you know, maybe tomorrow you start with 2 cups of vegetables a day, and then you increase that to 3 to 4. And you start making small changes like that, the body will change. Just like you said, body composition will, it will change. We don't need to be a size zero, and we don't need to be obese. There's definite ways to work around
this
that.
Healthy fat.
Being healthy,
healthier.
Yeah. Living a healthier lifestyle and being okay with ourselves. Just saying, you know what, this is the body I was given. And I need to learn to embrace and love this body and take care of the body. And if I'm not happy with my body, I can make changes today nutritionally with that and with some exercise. It doesn't have to be crazy exercise, but I can definitely make a change. And it really starts with self. And, you know, if somebody wants a miracle, they need to be the miracle first.
Uh-huh. Thank you. Yes. Yeah, we have to be the change we seek. We have, if we want peace in the world, we have to be within peace within ourselves. And as you said, we are miraculous creatures. And if when we give ourselves that credit, we'll understand, you know, we are the miracle. Start spending yourself. So now let's look at diseases. You know, we know, I mean, type 2 diabetes is like as common as the cold now. And I think it is so misdiagnosed, and so can be controlled by diet and exercise. And you know, there's a few other things out there as well. I mean, we know that candida is something that is, you know, rampant in the body in most people, which of course is completely and utterly fed by sugar.
Yes.
And you know, a lot of the time people are just bloated, and they just don't realize that's what they're carrying around, and that sugar in the body is what's changing the chemistry. And it is one of the hardest things to come off.
Yes.
You need to come off it in order to kind of really actually discover what your body is.
Well, that's the thing, you know. And when we're feeding our bodies those phytochemical nutrients, and those high fiber foods, those green leafy foods, you know, that can minimize candida, can definitely start minimizing out of the body. Chronic inflammation is due to being bloated as well. And those chronic inflammation and chronic candida just leads us down to further and further with more disease and more abnormalities with cell formations, creating cancer. And people don't seem to understand that those processed sugars not only feed into that candida, but feed into a chronic cancer, such as, you know, as chronic cancer. And cancer, if we continue the way that we're eating, the way that we eat today, it will double by the year 2030. Cancer is the number one most preventable.
Yes.
And number two out of cardiovascular disease, believe it or not, if we just take some control with our food and with our nutrition.
It didn't used to be this or this common. And you know, the more opulent we've become over our food, and of course the more chemicals and preservatives in it, you know, the worse our bodies have become. And I actually look at cancer twofold. One, a chemical disease, you know, from either the environment or the foods we eat, and it's also an emotional disease. Now, when you're putting so much stress on the body chemically, it's going to get emotionally stressed. So you've just double whammied it, and that henceforth the cancer starts coming out.
Definitely, because we have to, we got to make sure your lymphatic system is repaired, and it can drain toxins properly out of the body. It is the biggest circulatory system in the body that drains, and it acts like a bit, you know, when you're going into your bathroom and your sink is all clogged up. That is kind of how our bodies work. If we keep continually feeding it chemicals, artificial ingredients, preservatives, and it will clog up like sludge, and then, well, what happens? Well, everything starts getting diseased. Things don't want to work properly. Your liver gets congested. Lungs can be congested. We get respiratory illnesses. We get tons of allergies for no good reason. Gone are the days that, you know, those real allergies are real allergies. I mean, really, allergies come from a disrupted gut flora and microbiome, and it's quite unfortunate. And I think, you know, there's a little bit more awareness about that lately. It's becoming more and more pronounced, thank goodness. Instead of people just, you know, saying, well, I'm allergic to this and I'm allergic to that. I
Stop
think people
popping
are,
another chemical pill.
that's right, instead of suppressing, and we got to stop suppressing the immune system and bringing it life again, giving it life, letting it have the life, letting it do what it's not naturally supposed to do.
We have a holistic health expert who's 79. She still works out. She still goes out dancing, and she's been. They used to call her snake oil woman because back in the 60s, right? She's into natural herbs and nutrition and doing all these things that like, oh, freaky far out man. And yet you look at her today, and in amazing health. And she always says that the three organs, the kidney, the liver, the colon, and if you don't take
Right.
care of that, it puts stress on the rest of the body, including the mind.
Very, very true. Death begins in the colon. And when you hear of people, they say, well, unfortunately, that person died of some type of different cancer other than what it was in the colon. Well, that's where cancer starts. That's where inflammation starts. Death begins there. And if we do not take care of that colon, if we do not build good gut flora, you are definitely in compromisation for disease, if not cancer. And we have to make such a effort to really look at our diet, because we want to be able to function. You want that colon to be able to be decongested. If not, we're gonna get all this hardening. They talk about hardening of the arteries. Well, talk about hardening of the colon as well. We build plaque in the colon, and we need that high fiber diet to be able to pull out those all that fecal matter, and to be able to pull out inflammation out of the body, and to give it life again, and to build a good gut flora and microbiome. We got to start building a little city there again. It is our army. There's an army. We either kill it with bad food, or we can actually start, building a better army down there, or in there, in our guts. And it's extremely important. And it's unfortunate that we have been, I guess, I shouldn't say brainwashed, but to think that,
We have.
box foods, box foods, canned foods, packaged foods, is the way to go because of time and convenience, or just pure laziness. We get very lazy as a society to not want to prepare our foods. And our, back in the 50s, 60s, we had more people working to make food from the ground up. And then as the 70s approached, it was more about out of convenience. And I'm hoping that our world is doing a paradigm shift and going back to farming. I'm hoping that that will stay. I'm hoping it will become so pronounced that that will be almost where a lot of jobs are at again. Where you're working physically in a farm. We're creating better foods for ourselves. We're taking care of ourselves better and becoming much more aware.
Well, we went through the whole paradigm of the GMO foods and the Monsanto, and in many parts of the world, Monsanto is completely banned. In North America, it's still there because they've got their claws in government, so they're still pulling the strings. But the more and more we, as the consumer, say, "I am not going to buy those foods. I refuse to buy them." Let's understand, if we want change, you've got to hit them in their pocket.
Yes,
And if you're
definitely.
not buying their goods, they're going to have to start providing what it is you will buy. So,
Yes.
when you do buy the organic, when you do buy the local, the fresh, not the bananas and the oranges that came over from California, still picked unripe and then ripen in the store. There are certain foods we don't grow here, but there are so many beautiful, abundant seasonal foods
Yes,
that they
definitely.
do. My son's about to open up a deli called Humber Roots Deli here in Maple Ridge, and he is going to be sourcing within a 10-mile radius of all as much local as he possibly can get to
Very
support the
nice.
farmers and to be able to cook from scratch wholesome foods that are fresh. And we need to
Absolutely.
get back into our kitchen in that way, don't we?
We definitely do. And the more that we can buy, locally, and organically here where we live, I honestly believe that those prices can come down.
Yeah.
I honestly believe if we stop buying the stuff that comes, you know, from Timbuktu and all that, that we could definitely do something about our pricing. The pricing will get better. We just need to be able to stop as a whole, stop buying all that stuff that's unnecessary and start buying locally and from the farmers and stuff so they keep the costs down. And our poor farmers, you know, it's really quite unfortunate that that certification process for organic is so expensive. And they shouldn't have to get that, you know.
No, I mean, come on. It's
ridiculous.
It used to be organic. Why do they need certification for something for thousands of years that's been?
Absolutely.
Right? Where's the certification for Monsanto?
Exactly. Yeah. So it's just a big money. It's just a big money grab, you know.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately. So local, if we can buy local, if we can get those prices down, we can buy as much organic as possible in where we live. The better for us and the better for our farmers, and we'll be able to support them. We'll be able to eat better as well.
But, you know, there's another factor to take in. All right, transition. When you're detoxing, when you're, you know, reprogramming your brain to eat different foods, when your body is beginning to exercise, you have to understand that, consider it a labor of love. When you're pregnant, you're going to have to go through the stages before you can give birth. So look, I'm going to give birth to myself in 6 months. Right? And these are the stages I'm going to go through. And some of them are going to be unpleasant and some of them are going to be pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of it, when you look at your food bill and what it is today, and you look at your health bill as opposed to what it is, you know, you're going to spend less at the grocery store because your body's getting nutritionalized through the foods you're eating, and so you don't need to eat as much because you are being fuller quicker. You the nutrients are in your body that are being absorbed better. You are more energetic. In the long run, you're going to save not only your life, but you're going to save, you know, your food account because you are eating healthier. And as far as sugars are concerned, try juicing a few vegetables with a couple of pieces of fruit, and it's pure nectar.
Yes, I couldn't agree with you further. absolutely. I'm very passionate about that. If anyone starts, you know, just spending the money where it really truly counts, I believe that they're going to spend less money in pharmaceutical drugs, spend less money even in their grocery bill, as you say, and because all of that other stuff, it does add up. All the stuff that's right in the center, the middle parts of our stores, the processed foods, it is very expensive. I would say the average price of something that's boxed or bagged, it's probably between, you know, a $4 and a $6 markup. Whereas you can buy a bag of vegetables for almost nearly the same price, if not cheaper, but that's better for you. You're going to have a longer life and you're not going to have to go into the doctor constantly getting a pharmaceutical prescription to feed your body and to spend more money there.
Or losing time at work because you're sick.
Yes, losing time at work.
Back on antibiotics because your body keeps breaking down, and the antibiotics break your body down even further. You know, it's a vicious cycle.
Absolutely.
And, you know, if you've got to be willing to break that cycle, and you know, I could never go. I mean, you know, I'll admit I can't go completely vegan. I love cheese too much, and you know, occasional meat and fish, but probably more vegetarian than I am anything else now.
Okay.
And it's, you know, the more you eat the good stuff, the more you find that this is really delicious. I could eat more and more of it. And the more you walk away from something, the less you crave it. Right?
Yes.
It's just a question. You've got to be willing to go through the transition. Initially, if you're a sugar baby, you're going to find it a little hard because your body's screaming for that sugar.
Absolutely. It is hard. It is a very hard transition for some people, for sure. But it's about finding strategies and gaining the tools and the knowledge to help them understand what they need to do. And once they have those tools and knowledge, sometimes, you know, you can get a person who just takes the bull by the horns and does it, and then the other one might have a little bit of resistance. But once they understand, they seem to really understand. And I appreciate, you know, both parties, both people that can come together, really taking that journey, going, well, you know what, this is going to be an easy journey for me. And then for some people, it's going to be a harder journey for them. The ones that have a harder time, I tend to feel that they have really, really understood that hardship. That hardship seems to really push forward with them and to motivate them further. Not to say that the ones that came and said, yes, I can do it and all that, but it just seems like the ones that have to go through a little bit of a harder process really appreciate that journey that much more and appreciate what they're doing for themselves. It does take time. It takes courage. It takes mental, that mental fortitude.
And you need support. It's not something you're meant to do on your own.
No, absolutely. You know, when you have a husband and wife team or a partner team, or your kids and yourselves, if you have that support, that is so much more better. It is harder when you're doing it on your own and you've got one family member that doesn't want to eat as well or doesn't want to, you know, go out to exercise. There's so much more success when everybody is on board in the family dynamic.
I also, you know, I've done many, many shows around, you know, cooking in the kitchen where everybody gets involved. And, you know, depending on the age thing, it might just be setting the table or it might be, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's about that participation. I think there's more gratitude for the food. You've prepared things together, a little nibble along the way. It builds up the appetite. It builds up the gratitude. It builds up the unity, you know, of being together. And I think that when you sit around the table, you know, the appreciation for each other and for the food, as opposed to in the microwave nuke in front of you, stuff it in my mouth and out the door.
You know, yes.
I think it builds relationships.
Absolutely. You know, getting our children involved, that's where it starts, because they're the ones that are going to lead the way, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we need to set that example, and getting our children involved, even as far as going grocery shopping with them, having them pick out vegetables that they may like to try, or, you know, or getting them involved as far as going, when you're going to the grocery store, having them take it to the checkout counter and asking, you know, our children, what is that vegetable? What do you think that is? And just taking some time. We don't need to go spend $100 at taking them to a museum. Take them to the grocery store and teach them there. Mm-hmm. And bring them home and prepare the food together. Cut up the vegetables together. Help them to understand that the vegetables go into the refrigerator and need to be eaten. And when they see it and when they're being part of the process, they're part of the change.
But it's also kind of integrate something along with it. You know, if they're used to that kind of cheese whiz, well then get some cheese and make kind of a cheese dip that they can dip the vegetables into it. You can still have the cheese. Just don't go for the stuff in the jar that's been there for 6 months. You know, it's just, you can still give them all the foods they want. It's just about preparing it in a different way. And the more you have them work with you and help you prepare it, the more they'll actually change, because they'll take pride in what they've made.
Yes, there's always a healthier alternative. There should never be a no, I can't have, I'm not allowed, because all that does is set you up for some psychological damage and a bad relationship with food. And we want to teach people to have a good relationship with food. So, you know, somebody might say, well, you know, I enjoy eating some animal protein and I enjoy eating cheese. I'm like, okay, well, how can we make that a healthier way? Well, we don't come here to say that you have to be vegan or you have to be vegetarian. But what we do say is, you know, if you can increase your vegetation a little bit more and your plant-based proteins a little bit more, I guarantee you, your body's going to do a lot better. It's going to clean itself out better. It's going to feel better. You're going to feel better. And you can still have the other things. But we make it more like that's a side dish, those little things that we can make alternatively in a healthier way as a side dish. So when we're eating from a plate, the main meal should be your vegetables. It should be a great big salad, vegetables, and your animal protein should be more acting like a side dish. Whereas, you know, 20, 40 years ago, it was more the opposite. We were all about the meat and the potatoes, and the side dish really
was a cow and a spud. Yeah, exactly.
And a canned corn, right?
Right.
So it's about changing that paradigm and going a 90-10. So 90% we want to be eating well. 10%, you know, we can have our alternative healthier treats
Well, and also, you're going to go out for dinner or people's place for dinner, and that, you know, that you can't expect them to cook for you.
No.
And, you know, and it's like, just, you know, don't eat with guilt. You know, it's just enjoy what you've got there, because the moment you put guilt there, you're creating different vibration in your body. Just get out, enjoy it, and then go back to your own way of eating the next day. You know, I've had a wonderful woman on who is a vegan but shares the recipes, and you know, her recipes, Danielle Bassoon, her recipes are just absolutely delicious. And, you know, and easy to make, but more than just kind of cooking up a vegetable and putting there, kind of creating something. And if you still do want your meat or your fish or whatever, you know, this is a lovely way of kind of exploring the way to do vegetables.
Yes.
And, you know, the more you bring that in, the less you're going to find all, you know, the need of the other. So
absolutely,
We have the internet today. You know, this thing on your computer, you click a button and you put up there and go recipes. You know, there really very isn't easy. Any excuse. You can explore recipes and try ones out. Okay, kids, what are we going to do? Let's look at a recipe. Let's go and buy the ingredients. Let's make it up tonight.
Yes, right? Definitely. Even making, you know, children, you know, they don't want to give up some of those fun foods, like, you know, making a pizza. I would say, well, instead of buying the pizza, let's just make a healthier pizza. You can make your own dough. You don't have to have it with all these wheat products. You can definitely, there's a plethora of variety of things to do, a dough for a pizza. You can put lots of vegetables on there. Hard cheeses are a better way to go instead of eating, like you said, this processed cheeses. There is a definitely always a healthier way and a fun way of making these things. And yes, the internet is full of recipes and good healthy things and information that can help us just to get started.
And, you know, finding, you know, even if your family member isn't ready to kind of go on the same journey as you, you know, maybe it's only one member that's coming to you with that help, that transition that she's going to go through, she's going to bring to her family, and they're going to see the transition in her.
Yes, lead by example.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, one of the things that is said today, that more people die through malnutrition than ever before, and they can be 200-300 pounds and they die from malnutrition.
Isn't that sad?
Horrifying, isn't it?
Yes.
And it's purely because, you know, I'm 61. So, you know, when you talk about 50s and 60s, I was brought up on the farm food. You know, off to the market twice a week to pick up the fresh stuff from the farmers. You know, food used to even be delivered to our house from the local places. Or they came around certainly with their baskets of wares. So I had a very good foundation in my growth and my cellular structure building up. Now you look at the kids today and what they're being fed, and look at the obesity level, look at the diabetic level, look at the ADD level, look at the anger level. And you know, all of this is, I'm afraid you can put it back to, yes, society's gone a little crazy, but also you can put it fundamentally down to the diet.
Absolutely, I agree with that 100%, because nutrition is just, it's so phenomenal how it affects your hormones, your brain chemistry, and your serotonin, your dopamine, your cortisol, the whole kit and caboodle. Like, there's just so much that goes on with that brain chemistry and hormones. And when we're, again, feeding the brain properly, the brain is being signaled now to function properly throughout the whole entire body. Everything's connected to the brain. So if we're not going to eat well, you're definitely going to have some adverse effects. And it's unfortunate that, you know, we could be dying of malnutrition when we are obese people, or we could be not able to focus properly, you know, because we're eating too much processed foods and we're not getting enough fruits and vegetables. A high fruit and vegetable intake can decrease cancers and a lot of diseases by 40 to 60%.
Yeah.
That's a huge percentage.
Well, there's the B17 formula. And it's nuts and grains and berries. And if you incorporate this in your diet every day, it's like a little Pac-Man. Any cancer cells come up, they just gobble them up.
That's right. Yes, right. It's the added estrogens that we put into our body called xenoestrogens that act like estrogen mimickers. they are responsible for much more disease and inflammation, of course. And we need to eat foods that, like you say, act like Pac-Man and will now take away those unwanted items from our body. They will eat those up and keeping us away, from disease and further away from disease. But if we are continually to eat very poorly, again, we're just falling trapped to dying very, very young from these very unwanted diseases. And it's sad to say, but I don't know, just some people, it's just so sad how some people just don't seem to put the two and two together. They think
Well,
that
and yeah, it's either a lack of self-value or utterly and completely they don't care. And unfortunately, you can't help anyone until they care.
That's right. That's right. They got to be willing to want to help
Yeah.
themselves,
Yeah.
right?
Well, I just posted up here on the site because I keep finding these things and I put on what fruits are good for you, and then I just put one up on bananas and what's good for you. But ginger, and like just taking some ginger and adding it to your juicing, chopping it up and putting it in with your stir fry, even when you're feeling kind of nauseous or a little uneasy in your stomach, chopping it up and drinking hot water with ginger in it. I mean, ginger has an unbelievable amount of benefits, digestive issues, it soothes nausea. It can relieve pain, the
Help with
risk of heart
inflammation.
disease, yeah, cholesterol, inflammation. I mean, brain function, anti-cancer properties. The thing
Absolutely.
is, and like turmeric, is another one that's absolutely brilliant. And I'm actually on a product called Cocoonum right now, which is even stronger than turmeric. Since I've been on that, my inflammation level has just radically decreased. And the whole point is, the answers are there, and they're all nutritionally natural, whether we do take it in a condensed pill form or in the foods. And instead of going, oh, my arthritis, or oh, my diabetes, well, there is a solution, but how
There
willing
is
are
a
you to
way.
embrace it, right?
That's right. There is ways to do it. And yeah, if you can't, if a person is having a hard time with the food first, I always say, definitely take your vitamins. I mean, that's not the cure. Again, we want to put money where it counts. We want to give ourselves, put the money where it counts as far as food is concerned, putting that food into our body without having to take too many, inundated of supplements. And yes, some supplements are very good, as you were just talking about. And if we can eat more of those ginger and garlic and onions, the stuff that has those properties that help with inflammation and disease and
Free
just
radicals and all
chronic
of that.
free radical
Yeah.
cell damage, absolutely, the better for us. A high fiber diet is what we should strive for, and we need to strive for that to claw away at all
Yeah.
the unwanted matter in the colon. And we also need healthy fats. We're not getting
Yes.
enough healthy fats. Your brain is going to look for them elsewhere in your body,
Yeah.
depleting the body of other fats. Your brain needs to have fat. So we all think that, fat is bad for us. We went through that phase for a while, didn't we? Just like carbohydrates were
Yeah.
bad. And we definitely,
Moderation balance, right?
in moderation and balance, and healthy fat is something we definitely need. We don't need a whole bunch of it, mind you, but we do need some healthy fat, and that comes in the way of seeds and nuts and our good healthy fishes like salmon and mackerel, tuna, as well as avocados. All those good healthy fats are so beneficial on so many different levels. And not just for healthy hair and skin, but good brain function. Like
Yeah.
you're talking about ADD
Yes.
and hyper deficit
Disorder.
disorder. Thank you. And that has a lot to do with that. A lot of our kids are not getting enough of those good healthy fats.
No.
You
And they're
know,
not going to get it from a bag of chips.
they're not going to get it from a bag of chips. And then, and also we're not allowed to send our children now to school with the nut products or seed products
Yeah.
because of all of these crazy allergies, which I believe are in form of just eating poorly. It has nothing to do with the peanuts. Yes, I believe there's about 1% of society that is actually truly, truly has a peanut and nut allergy. And the rest of us, I think, are just kind of floating by with the other things,
Well,
they
peanuts is
crunch.
not actually a nut. It's a legume. It's part of the
That's right.
potato family.
That's
Now,
right.
I am allergic to nuts, but I can eat cashew, peanuts, and chestnuts.
Okay,
Right?
okay, yep.
Any of the other nuts will kill me. Right? So, but how many people go to school with pecan or walnuts or almonds, maybe, because almonds are absolutely, I know, brilliant. Walnuts kill parasites. I mean, all of these nuts have an amazing amount of healing and nutritional qualities. I am allergic to those and have been since birth, but I can eat the peanuts and I can eat the cashew nuts, which is another B17 product, which is so good, and chestnuts, which is unfortunately only seasonal. But, you know, I think again it comes into common sense. You know, if somebody is allergic to it, then they've got to be mindful of where they eat, or the people have to be taught to be mindful around them to say, no, nobody can have.
Yes.
You know, it's again that utter extreme that we go through. I mean, we've got to be stopped being such extremists and look to a way that we can address the solution, the problem with a solution.
Yeah, instead of, exactly, I mean, my point exactly, because we were talking about healthy fat, and our kids used to go to school with peanut butter sandwiches.
Yeah.
And they've really come, and that was an easy way for us parents to nourish our children on a protein way and in a good healthy fat way. And that's, I think, a lot of that we've come away from that because, you know, of this extreme measures that we take, that society takes. And it's really too bad. And I think that a lot of kids have missed out because of that. And then we look, you know, to introduce different things to them, but they still are not allowed to take that to school, like almond butter, you know, almond butter.
Nutella and things like that.
Yeah. Hopefully not too much Nutella, but but almond butter and all these other seed butters. I mean, there's nothing wrong with them, but yet they're still not allowed to take those.
Because again, it's the way society is screwed up. You've always got, you know, one person screaming hysteria, and then, you know, that hysteria runs rampant. We see this in society. We're certainly seeing it in politics right now. But we also see it with the fats. You know, when you talked about health fats, you know, no fat, that meant no fat at all. You know,
yes.
And going to that extreme. Well, absolutely everything you do in life has to have this one word, balance.
Balance, and yes, definitely balance. A lot of us don't understand what balance means. Like you said, we go through this, we go through phases of like, this is bad, that's bad, carbohydrates are bad, fats were bad, butter was bad, you know, everything was bad. And, you know, and I guess we just need more people to integrate on a nutritional way. You know, people like myself and other people who do study nutrition come together with our doctors, with our doctor system, and integrate with them and saying, you know, we can work together. We have a big variety of doctors who will embrace that way of lifestyle, that Eastern medicine. And then we also do have our other doctors who unfortunately will still not look at that as food, as the answer, as the cure. They're not taught that way. They're still looking at the way that they have been taught in school, that, you know, just basically 10 hours of nutrition. I think that's all they really get.
Yes.
And then we have, you know, there are other doctors who are now integrating with more health professionals. And I think that's just, I think it's wonderful. We're going to be able to help more people and not just handing out a quick fix with a pharmaceutical.
Exactly. Again, the balance, right? I mean, I just had a Dr. Duren on out of Hawaii who started a university called Quantum University, which actually does mix modalities of health. The Western and the Eastern and, you know, you name it. And it's teaching those doctors to come away with a whole knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is the way we need to go. But he didn't see it anywhere, so he created it. And you know, that's what we need to see more of, because
we do.
And when it comes to Western medicine of having to replace an organ or fix a limb, or you know, save a life in the moment, great. When it comes to
acute situations,
when it comes to health, you know, prevention and staying healthy, you know, they wait until they can fix you, but they don't do anything to stop you from becoming sick. We've got to do that. We've got to be mindful of knowing what we put in our bodies.
Definitely, definitely. Prevention is where it's at, and preventing cancer through nutrition and preventing any illnesses through nutrition, that's where we need to focus on. It's not like let's put a quick band-aid fix to it, right? We need to do work on the preventive. And the way that we can work on the preventative measures is to get our children involved with healthy cooking, prepping our foods, shopping for our foods, having them surrounded at the dinner table with us as parents, and seeing, what goes on there nutritionally, taking more time, taking more care, making it a priority in the home to sit down together,
I mean, if
and
you've
to
got a
eat together.
busy lifestyle, put aside some hours at the weekend. We're going to cook up some foods for the week, sauces and this and that that we can freeze, and we'll bring out through the week. And at least it's still that you cooked it together, and then it's there
That's
going
right.
for you to kind of put in the oven or heat up. Prepare, plan.
It's all about that's all it is. It's all about priorities, It's how we see it. It's like, well, I'm not faulting parents for this, but I'm definitely have seen a lot of this where a parent will just overly involve their child to the point where there's no home time, there's no downtime, there's no time to sit down and make meals together. The child is involved in four different things during the week, and then they got not just one child doing that, they got two or three. And there's no time for family time. There's no time to for together to look healthy, to as far as like look healthy, not in the physical sense, but looking healthy in the home. Like, what is health in our home? It is not a healthy home. It is a crazy, chronically crazy home that has been floating from one extreme to the next, from one day to the next, from one week to the next. The months go by so quickly, and then all of a sudden your child has either got early onset diabetes, obesity, or is not
Stressed.
concentrating well and is overstressed.
I
Exactly.
mean, when you look at it, stress is the number one killer, because we overstress our bodies without the lack of nutrition. Then we're overstressing our minds because we can't cope with things, and we're putting so much stress on our nervous system. Everything about us becomes overstressed, and that's the number one lead to heart disease, is the
Definitely.
stress factor. And we've got to kind of take a breath and go, what's good for our family? And is them being in every activity important? Where is the time for the conversation with the family? Where is the
Yes.
time for them simply to enjoy imaginary playtime?
Yes, and if parents are concerned, and they should be concerned about their children having, good physical activity, but that doesn't mean we have to get them involved in so many things. I mean,
Overload, yeah.
we could take it upon ourselves as parents, to take our children out for bike rides or go
Yes.
for walks in the park and stuff like that. We've really come away from
Yeah,
that.
exactly. And we talk, we haven't even touched on the spirituality, but it's very hard to embrace the spirit if you are in turmoil, if your body's in turmoil, if your mind's in turmoil, if you're running around like chasing your
Absolutely.
tail. How can you be still enough to embrace the spirit and what the heart and the soul is speaking to you, because everything else is screaming at you?
Absolutely. We need to feel connected with ourselves, and I think we've lost that connection.
Absolutely. It's
I think
become outside priorities rather than inside priority, hasn't it?
it definitely has. It's about keeping up and who has what and who's
Yes.
doing it better.
Yeah.
But yeah, spirituality, it's a very interesting thing. And I do have people in my practice that'll ask about what that means exactly. I'm like, well, what does it mean to you? Well, that means I need to go to church and pray on Sundays. N no, not necessarily. A spirituality is a sense of self and being connected to yourself. That could be just taking time for yourself. And if that means, sitting in your front room and having a cup of tea and just thinking about your week, thinking about where it is that you're finding your life at the moment, or thinking about just being still with yourself. That's okay if it means taking on something as far as you liking to go for a walk in nature,
Which is
if
a
that's a
good form of
simple.
connection for spirituality.
For a lot of people, it really is,
Yeah,
isn't it?
yeah.
Then so be it. But to go to church or to sit and, have to do this and have to do that,
Yes.
all these have to
And
have
have to
everything.
put money in the kitty. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a sense,
No.
in my opinion, that's not a sense of
No.
spirituality. A spirituality really comes from a connection within yourself and learning who you are, knowing who you are and what you are, feeling comfortable with you and doing the things that you enjoy in life that are not just going to overtax the system in yourself physically and mentally. But also just give you a sense of peace and joy and content, because we can be people that are just kind of floating by and kind of happy, but are those really, really happy people? I don't know. But hopefully they have a sense of joy and peace and being content with their life and with themselves, and that they feel they are doing good for themselves and as a society, giving back to the community, a sense of joy and peace giving to other people. That's what I think spirituality is.
And I, from all the people I've interviewed, especially those that have come through an enormous redirect, be it a loss of somebody or something or an illness, they had to go through that before they could embrace their spirit. And because everything else was so toxic in their body, in their mind and in their soul, it's only when they went through that cleanse, mind
yes.
and body, that they could start embracing the soul and the heart. So, it's don't expect your spirituality to kind of come out and embrace you straight away. Part of initiating or igniting with that spirituality is when you do start embracing your body and in heart and with heart start loving yourself by caring for yourself. Then you will come in alignment with your spirit.
Yes, definitely. Going through hardships will, produce that. That's
Yes.
for sure. And I could be one to speak for that on myself. Hardships are amazing. Some people can look at hardships as a negative sense. But for myself, I like to say and think of a hardship as more of a spiritual growth.
Yes.
And a way of being, a way of coming, into the light. We need to run to the darkness to face our things, to face our stuff. We can't run away from the dark, unfortunately, right? We need to run to the dark to get to the light. And that, to me, is also a sense of spirituality, dealing and going through the hardships and growing.
And the thing is to understand the dark isn't your enemy.
No.
And if we really want to see the light better, we need the definition and the outline or the shadowing of the dark, because that makes the light stand out. It gives it definition. It's being at home with both sides of it. It's again, the yin yang, the balance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And having the harmony with both sides of us, and not being afraid of our darkness and not being immersed in it, not being so blinded by the light we can't see, but
That's
marrying
right.
the two together in clarity.
Yes, and balance is something we always will be striving for.
As I said, that one word.
Yes.
It's everything. So tell us about your program and, what you offer people and how, what they would go through with you.
Yes, for sure. So basically, I run a 6-month health and wellness program. And there I see a couple or an individual 2 times per month. And the session is for 1 hour and each. And basically we talk about primary and secondary foods. So the primary foods, as we've been kind of touching on, is the things that are going to give you the peace in life. Are you feeling good with your career? Are you happy in your relationships, with your spirituality? Are you exercising? Are you cooking, eating right? Those are our primary foods, something we talk about in my practice. The other thing we talk about is secondary foods, which is very important as much as the primary. The secondary foods are the foods that help nourish our bodies, to help us get out of bed every day, to have the primary foods filled. And once those secondary foods come together, our primary foods blossom.
Yes.
And they really, really do. And then we find a balance. It's called the circle of life. And the circle of life is then balanced. And we're not always reaching for, food when our circle of life is balanced. And do you find, a lot of people are stress eaters or emotional eaters when there's something out of balance in their life? So basically in my practice, we put the two together. We find balance with primary food. We find balance with secondary food and pull them together. And we learn to develop strategies and tools to help that person overcome those adversities and obstacles that they don't feel that they can when they do first embark joining on the program. I teach the client to have, a healthy lifestyle and a balanced way of an emotional sense and a spirituality. being connected with themselves. What does that look like for them? Everyone is bio-individual. So what might work for one person may not necessarily work for the next person. And even on a secondary level, as far as our food is concerned, something might not work for this person as far as what they're eating, but it may be okay for the other person. So we really look at the bio-individual needs of the actual individual. What works for them in a nutritional sense and in a primary sense.
And so, you know, once you know and you can get into a rhythm and you've got a pattern to follow, you know, then you start kind of balancing it out with your lifestyle. And, you know, I think what stops so many people from doing anything is this, like, I don't know how. And so you're giving them that how, that kind of blueprint to follow.
Absolutely.
And from there they build, you know, a system and a pattern that is easy for them to follow, that they can sustain, because that's also something really important.
Yes.
You know, is building something that you can sustain and that you can keep building from.
Absolutely, because I think a lot of us, you know, are, I need a quick pill. I need a Band-Aid approach. This is not a Band-Aid approach. They come here, I say, I'm not a Jenny Craig or Weight Watchers. And there's a place for those people. There's nothing wrong with those people or with those companies. However, I feel that when a person comes to my practice, they are learning the tools on how to have a healthier lifestyle, not just for the moment. It's not just in the moment. It's for a healthier lifestyle to continually help them to have momentum and motivation to do so throughout their entire life, not just as an acute situation.
Right. And, you know, if you have been to Jenny Craig in this and you lost the weight and now you're finding it's coming back on, you know, this is the time to reach out to you and go, help me, I don't want to go back there. Because I think just about everybody I've ever known that's gone through those have put the weight back on plus.
Unfortunately, yes, and everyone that I've seen to know that has done that too, and even current clients that I help right now, some of them have been through that, even as much as getting a gastric sleeve.
Yes. Yes.
You know, it's unfortunate. I have a few of them in my practice right now, and they've put the weight back on. So it's, again, it's about giving them the tools to understand what they need and how they need to nourish themselves before they even embark on thinking about doing these other things.
Yes.
It's the preventative. And it's about the long term, not just the short term. It's like, what are you going to be able to learn? What are you going to know before you leave this program? Because they need to know before they leave. I want to make sure that they understand they have a good toolbox that they have with them when they leave the practice. They have the tools. They know what to do. They know what foods to eat. They know how to help themselves. And they're not just leaving here with, here's a meal plan, go eat like this and then go lose, you know, 10 or 50 pounds and then come back and see me. It's not that. It's like, no, you're going to learn tools. You're going to leave here with the toolbox.
You're giving them a blueprint for their lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. I would like to think so. Yes.
And, you know, and the whole thing about a blueprint, you know, what we build for our lives is up to us. But if we've got a good blueprint in which to build from, that means the structure and the foundation that we build is going to be solid. And that then allows us to really be able to expand and build out, because that foundation is solid. If that foundation is wonky, everything can come down at any time. So you give them that blueprint to build that foundation from which they can grow from. Right?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. They come and they learn and they go and they feel confident. And that's the thing. They need to have that confidence. And a lot of us don't have that confidence, thinking, well, what if this, what if I leave here and this ends up happening again? Well, you know, I say you go back to your toolbox.
Yes.
That you gotta look back inside that toolbox, because you learned the tools. I said, it's just like learning an instrument, right? You gotta practice over and over and over and over again to get very good at this craft. Learning how to eat and nourish our bodies and being healthy is a practice. It is a practice we cannot stop doing. You lose it, you're not going to use it. Or you know what I mean? You don't use it, you're gonna lose it.
Yeah.
So
it is funky, man.
That's right. You gotta get funky. So you gotta use it to not lose it, and you gotta keep practicing and doing, just like we practice anything that we want to.
You practice it until it becomes such an integrative part of your lifestyle. It's just a natural process.
That's right. Just like what we talked about, we get up, we brush our teeth. It's this the next thing we need to do.
Right, exactly. And you know what? Stop looking for quick fixes or a downloadable app or a popping a pill. I guarantee that's not going to work. You know, it took time for you to get into a mess. Understand it's going to take some time to get you out. But the one thing we know about time, when you're doing it right, it goes fast.
When you're doing it right, it does go fast, and it also you're loving yourself.
Yes.
You're loving yourself, and that's where it needs to start. You need to love yourself to help yourself. And when we have that, then you know what? I think the world is your oyster. You can really get anything you want.
Yep, no stopping you. You've built a good foundation on which to springboard from. So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how do people find you to join your course?
Yes, so thank you. So I could be reached at my websites. So I've got two websites. One is bodybyfunk.com, and the other one is rejuvenatenutrition.ca. And they can also get in touch with me on Facebook and Twitter. So Facebook is facebook.com/bodybyfunk, and Twitter is http://twitter.com/bodybyfunk, and or of course a phone number. Shall I give you my phone number?
Yes, if you wish.
Sure. It's 778-808-3864. I help people globally, provincially, as well as locally, and always hoping and wanting to help as many people as I can, just to have a better lifestyle, a better healthy life, and longevity.
Excellent. And of course, you know, we believe in our guests here in selfdiscoveryradio.com, and you know, get behind the people that we believe in. And so look forward to an affiliation here where we actually help get your word out and get your program out even more, because that's what it's about. Thank you so much for all your information here today. It's been wonderful, Teresa.
Well, thank you, sir. I really appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.
And, you know, folks, it's up to us. You know, you have to decide what you want out of life. And if your life isn't working for you, you know, in your mind, in your body, just in every aspect of it, you got to understand it's from the inside out, spiritually, physically, emotionally. Everything is from the inside out. And if you take care of the inside and you nutritionally love it and balance it, your body is going to be able to do more, your mind is going to be clearer, and now you can spiritually start embracing all those possibilities that are waiting for you. So be willing to do the work. Teresa's right here for you. She's going to guide you through it, give you that blueprint for you to build an excellent foundation from which you to build an absolutely awesome life. But it's up to you. Are you ready for the challenge? Of course you are. Give her a call. Until next time, folks.